We have Noelle Wiggins, Teresa Rios Campos, and Erica Bridgman Bagnoli. And the title of their talk is Preparing Community Health Workers for Their Role as Agents of Social Change, Experience of the Community Capacitation Center.
Hi everyone. Okay, I'm Erica Bridgman Bagnoli and I'm a health educator at the Community Capacitation Center. I worked as a community health worker for many years in Portland, Oregon, mostly in African and African American communities. And I am here today with my colleagues Tere and Noelle. Do you want to introduce yourselves?
Hi everyone, my name is Teresa Rios Campos and I had a great privilege to serve as a community health worker for more than 25 years. I work presently with the Community Capacitation Center.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Noelle Wiggins. I'm the director of the Community Capacitation Center, and I've had the pleasure and honor of working with community health workers for over 25 years now.
Okay. So first, the title of our talk is Preparing Community Health Workers for Their Roles as Agents of Social Change, the Experience of the Community Capacitation Center, and we have no financial relationships to disclose. I want to start out today by talking about our objectives. So what we're hoping is that by the end of the session, you all will be able to describe the history, the current status, and the outcomes of the community capacitation model for training community health workers, and to be able to discuss the implications of the Community Capacitation Center's model for other community health worker training programs that wish to preserve the community health workers' roles as agents of social change. And we're going to do that today with a variety of activities. Throughout our presentation, we're going to be using popular education as a philosophy and methodology of teaching and organizing that draws out and builds on what people already know. And so all of these activities that we have planned are part of that model and methodology. So we're doing the introduction right now. We're about to have a short brainstorm. And then we're going to do a sociodrama that will cover the background on our community health worker training, how we do our training at the Community Capacitation Center, and our best practices in community health worker training. And then at the end, we're going to have a short, brief period of time to kind of think about how we can apply all of what we've talked about at the Community Capacitation Center in your work with community health workers. Okay, so I think that's all I have for right now, so I'm going to turn it over to Terry.
Okay. One of the main ideas of popular education is that we learn a lot based on our life experience. And based on that, we never, as a health educators, community health workers, or community organizers, we never start to teach a class with not asking you what you already know about the topic. And that's what we wanted to ask you, to find somebody that is sitting close to you, and you're going to talk about the question. Because we wanted to know, you already know a lot about this topic, but we want you to talk with the person sitting close to you about the question, what do you imagine? How does training influence the role of the community health workers play? That's the question that you're going to talk with the person sitting very close to you. You can turn it, you can come together, or okay, we're going to call you back to... we are hearing and see that there is a lot of passion talking about this question. And we wanted to hear just a few answers because of lack of time. Who would like to share? What do you talk about it? Come on. We were hearing that you were discussing a really good, yes. Okay. Okay. And Noel is going to pass the microphone. Okay, anybody else? Quickly, quickly. Who like? Okay, we have here.
I think it's really important to value the lived experience that they have before they get, or we, I am a community health worker, before you start training people. And I think it's really essential that you ask them what it is, what tools do they need to do the job that they came to you for in the first place. I think so many of the community health workers are being brought in to implement a program or a research project, so it's coming from the top down. I think really what we're trying to do as community health workers is to change the whole system so that we're getting community members saying what they need from the system to get where they need to go. They know what they need. They know their children need fruit and vegetables, but there's no shop and there's no transport and they don't have a job and they have no immigration papers, so they can't get a job. So they're going to stay poor and they're going to be needy. So people don't want to be needy.
Yes. For all those reasons, just because we are lacking our time that we're going to stop there, but we know already that you know a lot around this topic. And we're going to pass to the next activity. We're going to hand the microphone to Noelia.
Good afternoon, once again, everyone. We're very pleased to have you this afternoon. So Tere has shared one main idea of popular education, and I'm going to share another. And that is that we learn more when we can see and reflect on reality. And for that reason, in order to share more about our community health worker capacitation program at the Community Capacitation Center, we're going to use a sociodrama. And as many of you may know, sociodramas are dramas or skits that are based on real life events. So right now, in order to share our experience, we're going to enact a sociodrama, and this drama is going to take place at lunchtime in our offices at the Community Capacitation Center in Portland, Oregon. Erica, Teresa, and I are going to play ourselves, and we've met over lunch, and we're going to be reflecting on our work. Now, ordinarily, when we eat lunch, we do sit down, but in order for you to see us, we're going to have lunch standing up. So that won't be hugely realistic, but hopefully the rest will be. So, ladies.
I bring enchiladas and
everything. Oh, yay!
And salsa?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Excellent. Okay. So, Terry, what have you been doing?
I have been translating the material for our training for community health workers about the children's exposure to violence.
Oh, and Erica, what have you been up to?
I've been working on the IRB application for our second Afrocentric training for community health workers. And Noelle, where are you coming from?
Well, I'm coming from a meeting of the Traditional Health Workers Steering Committee of the Oregon Health Authority.
So, how was it?
It was good. It was good. But there are so many issues to work out. I mean, we've always known that if community health workers were ever discovered by the healthcare system, it would be a mixed blessing.
Yes, that is usually what happens when people get discovered.
Right. And if this discovery leads to community health workers getting more recognition and more respect...
and more pay.
Then that's a very good thing. But if it leads to the community health worker role being narrowly defined as connecting people to services and managing medical utilization...
then that could be a bad thing.
You got it. That's why I think community health worker training is so important. The content, methods, and values of community health worker training have a big influence on the roles that community health workers are going to play.
You would think people would have learned that. Community health working training has been around for a long time.
Yes, in fact, for centuries. And here in the U.S., community health worker training programs have existed at least since the 1960s.
But before, we didn't get any credit. But in 1990, I had many hours to training, but nothing to show for it.
That's why people started to establish community health worker training centers, right?
Yeah. Yes, so that community health workers could get credit, learn core skills, and network with their peers.
I've been reading the literature, and it seems that we have learned a lot from those efforts. For example, we know that community health workers need training that focuses on core skills, not just health content. We know it's important to involve experienced community health workers like Tara and me in planning and facilitating training. And we know community health workers learn more and feel more empowered when we use popular education.
We also know that supervisors need training too.
I agree. We know a lot about effective community health worker training. And those lessons really shaped our community health worker training program here at the Community Capacitation Center.
Yeah, you and Terry have been doing this a long time.
Yes, for about 20 years.
It's been a long road. Our roots go back to the 1980s, when I was working in El Salvador and Terry was working at La Clinica del Cariño in Hood River in Oregon. And we really learned a lot from our colleagues at places like CHECK in Boston and Community Health Works in San Francisco.
Then we were involved in the National Community Health Advisor Study. In that study, community health workers around the country told us about the skills that they need in order to do their work.
And that served as the basis for our curriculum here at the CCC.
So when was that the 80-hour basic curriculum originally approved?
2004.
And as you know, the updated version was approved by the Oregon Health Authority recently in 2013. It was the first curriculum to be approved under Oregon's new standards for certification of community health workers. We're proud of that.
And by March of 2014, with support from community partners like the Urban League, we will have used that curriculum to train 150 of the 300 community health workers called for in Oregon's Medicaid waiver.
And we will be very, very tired.
Yes, but it helps that we are using popular education.
That's true. I think popular education helps both the facilitators and the participants to stay energized and feel empowered.
I agree. And it also prepares community health workers to use popular education in their own communities so that they can identify the underlying social and structural causes of health inequities, and then they can actually do something about them.
So it sounds to me like we are using many of the demonstrated best practices in community health worker training.
Hopefully, we're using all of them, including conferring academic credit. I think I have a PowerPoint slide somewhere that shows that.
And that's all good, but it's also important to show that we are accomplishing our goals. For example, we know that 95% of our participants say our training improved their ability to promote health in their communities.
And we also have the results of our two major CBPR studies, which suggest that our training increases empowerment and knowledge and prepares community health workers to effectively promote health.
But the most important thing is what the participants telling us, like the leader from both, say that they can do advocacy and teach using popular education.
I am glad you two are finally willing to promote the CCC curriculum. For example, we have licensed our curriculum to two other groups in Oregon, and the article in the Journal of Community Practice will be read by many people around the country.
You know, Erica, it's true that for many years, Teddy and I didn't really want to create a formal curriculum because we felt really strongly that every group of community health workers has different strengths and needs, so you can't just pull a curriculum down off the shelf and implement it. However, we've been learning that it's important to spread best practices, like using popular education and preparing community health workers to play a wide range of roles, including roles as community organizers and researchers.
So in this case, advocating for a good training is advocating for community health workers, right? And advocating for community health workers is advocating for our communities, right?
Right.
Right. Absolutely.
Okay, I better get back to that IRB application.
And I've got to get caught up on my email.
And I'm going to do the translation that I needed.
Okay.
Bye.
See you later.
Bye.
Have a good afternoon.
So thank you very much to my coworkers for participating in that sociodrama. So now I'd like to ask you, we're going to reflect a little bit on that sociodrama. What caught your attention in the sociodrama? And maybe, Erica, can I ask you to grab that that mic over there? And you'll just need to flip a little switch on the top. And in the meanwhile, somebody can decide they're willing to share. Wonderful. We have a hand right over here. What caught your attention in that sociodrama? So mutual respect among team members. Thank you. Did anything else in that sociodrama catch your attention? Got one right back here.
I can talk.
Can you project? That would be lovely.
One thing that I really noticed is that we're talking about what is everyone working on, and in my organization, having a community health worker working on an IRB application is not something, it's something we advocate for, but right now it's not something my leadership would even be any.
Great. Thank you very much. So the fact that a community health worker in the organization was involved in the application to the Institutional Review Board really caught your attention. Thank you. Others, what caught your attention in that sociodrama? Right over here, Erica?
Okay.
Okay. Just as the mic reaches you.
Some of the content that you touched on, that it seems like a double-edged sword to create a licensing or formalization of the process, and maybe you can talk a little bit more about that.
Yes, I'm going to defer that to the question and answer period, but that's a great observation. Yes, there are many double-edged swords present in the community health worker field at this historical moment.
I love the social drama. But there was a lot of information that came out, and I'm visual, and I need to see it. So that was the one problem that I had.
And
I do love it.
I appreciate that. And so to respond to your comment, and thank you very much, I'm going to note that there are slides that cover the same content that are in your that can be downloaded. So briefly, I'm going to flip through those so you'll know what's there. So we have a couple of slides about the history of community health worker training programs, in which we mentioned some of the training programs that have influenced us. We have this is my slide that I alluded to in the sociodrama about best practices in community health worker training and the citations for those. There's a bit of background on the Community Capacitation Center and the fact that we've existed formally for a bit more than 10 years, that we do other things besides community health worker training. We talk a bit about our roots, Tede's and my background, and again, programs that have influenced us. There's a bit about our curriculum. There's a slide about our use of popular education, philosophy, and methodology. And there's a slide about the outcomes of our work. And just to drive the point home, a slide asserting that we do try to implement the best practices that we've identified. And finally, a bit about our current status and our recommendations. So that all being said, I am going to pass you over to Erica for our final brainstorm.
Okay, so a final main idea of popular education is that at the end of any educational experience, we should always take time to reflect on what we have learned and how we can apply it to our real lives. So for this reason, we'd like to take just a few short minutes to ask you, how do you think that you might apply what we have discussed to your own work with community health workers or as a community health worker? And we're not going to do this in pairs. We're just going to do it in the large group. So I'd like to take just a few volunteers to raise their hand and answer that question. Anyone? Yes, over here. Yes. So you said...
I really thought I was loud. But anyway,
yeah.
I'm from New Orleans, and I actually can go back home and advocate for more community health workers to be a part of the IRB process, simply because we're not.
Yes.
And I think it's important that we need to be at the table regardless around that issue and other issues. So I did get some of that.
Yes, thank you. That's very important. Are there other ideas of how you could apply this to your work with community health workers or as community health workers?
Yes, as a community health care worker, I'd like to applaud those individuals that brought the issue about IRBs. I'm on a board, and I'm a community health care worker, so thankfully there's individuals that believe in this in the country. I would continue to educate researchers, employers, and all the stakeholders of the impact about community healthcare workers and what they have to provide for not only research, but we are agents of change.
Yes.
And you've touched base on that. Very little, a little bit, but I know it was because of the time. We not only work in healthcare, we work in community. We change community. So.
Yes. Thank you. I think that's such an important point. Are there any others that went to? Okay, so before we close, I want to mention that we do have some handouts, which I think Noelle can pass around.
I'll actually put them at the back of the room so people can.
Okay, so Noelle, so we're going to put them at the back of the room. And otherwise, we just really wanted to thank you for your participation in our presentation, and I'm going to turn it back over to Ashley.
Okay.